You know, when I was reflecting on the first reading, I discovered that Adam was the first person to fall in love at first sight. His reaction was very dramatic. As soon as he saw Eve, he was like confused. He said, "This is," and he proposed immediately.
There was no courtship, no marriage prep. He says, "Marry me." That was the kind of imagination I got from that scene, where as soon as Adam saw Eve, he was mesmerized.
And his first words in scripture was like a love song. Listen to what Adam says. "This one at last is bone of my bones." He started hitting at her right away. "And flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of her man, this one has been taken." What a beautiful way of expressing one's emotion. Well, that's an aside. Today, it is so difficult to speak about marriage because our culture is against the Christian idea of marriage. We have to be able to speak clearly. And marriage and family life were instituted by God, and they are uniquely valued in the Catholic Church. But they are so threatened by the rapid changes taking place today and have to be carefully protected if they are to survive and fulfill their purpose according to God's plan. The union of husband and wife is no mere human convention, but a bond made by God Himself. No human being is authorized to dissolve that bond once it has been made. Why would Jesus set this stricter standard? Why will he ask his followers to choose this path? Surely it is not to make life more difficult for us. Rather, it is to promote and safeguard the most important reason why God instituted marriage. In other words, marriage is first and foremost instituted for a spiritual relationship. A spiritual relationship. The Bible says, "And the two of them become one flesh." Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. St. Paul calls it a great mystery, a deep mystery, a mystical union. Because marriage is a foretaste of the beatific vision and indissolubility protects that great mystery. The marriage of a man and a woman is meant to be a mystical and a commemoration of the soul's reunion with her beloved God. That's how God looks at marriage. This is the spiritual relationship for which marriage is instituted in the order of priorities, and it comes before companionship and children. That spiritual relationship, marriage, and that gives us a foretaste of the beatific vision, is a union with the beloved. And that's why indissolubility is there to promote and protect this very most important reason of marriage. So, indissolubility is a witness to this most important reason why God instituted marriage, which is the spiritual relationship. I must acknowledge that the church's teaching on marriage and family life is very challenging and countercultural. There are so many good and holy people in our parish who are suffering in their marriages, separated, divorced, some going through the annulment process. It may be the other spouse's fault, or it may be nobody's fault, but they are suffering. That's the fact. And that's not right. As Jesus told us, that was not the way things were supposed to be. Marriage suffers from the presence of evil in our world. Today, divorce and remarriage remain as controversial in the church as it was in the days of Christ. Nevertheless, the church has never wavered in affirming and witnessing to the indissolubility of marriage. The church understands the complexity of divorce and shares the anxiety of her many sons and daughters who feel awkward and displaced within the church. The pain and awkwardness is the reality of the many Catholics who are unable to obtain annulment. One of my best friends in this parish is in this situation, and each time I speak to him, I see that passion and desire to love God and serve him. He's divorced but remarried. He's not able to get annulment. It's so tough. Their experiences have caused despair and doubts in the religious world of many, among whom are faith-filled Catholics. However, recently Pope Francis has called for a more empathetic and compassionate pastoral approach in dealing with divorced and remarried Catholics. Pope Francis calls for a new pastoral posture that is guided by prayerful dialogue and discernment, offering support to our brothers and sisters in the burden they must endure. Hence, we must avoid anything that smacks shaming and judgmental attitude towards people who must bear the cross of divorce and a failed marriage. We must offer them hope and reassure them of God's presence and love in their difficult situation. Also, we must offer them our friendship and the opportunity to be visible members of the body of Christ through their participation in our parish life. This is very important. To a Catholic, she was not a Catholic. It was a very difficult marriage. The guy was very abusive, and I tried to see if we can help them, but it won't live together. And they had to, the priest who witnessed their wedding had to advise them to separate for the good of the lady, because the guy was actually going to kill her. He was very abusive. And because she's not Catholic, she was very disappointed that nobody reached out to her. Most of the priests she knew, most of us, the church didn't reach out to her, and she was left all alone to suffer. And she mentioned that to me a few times. And I think many other Catholics and have the same experience, that because they are in this situation, and because there is indissolubility in Catholic marriage, sometimes the church seems to forget these people suffering from this crisis, this situation. And so I love to see a church that is much more proactive, where we can come up with a specific ministry, a unique ministry, not just in our parish, not just in parish level, but like a diocesan setup where we have a commission or ministry or something like that that will focus on reaching out to people who are divorced and remarried and see how we can continue to help them and get close to God, and if possible, they can make a decision for their salvation. But abandoning them because they have made a mistake, I don't think is really right. And this is the vision of Pope Francis, that we must use the pastoral approach that will help those in this situation to feel welcome, to feel supported, because in truth, God desires that all men, no matter how sinful they are, be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4.